It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome in to the Tighten Up Podcast on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He's at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Tighten Up Podcast. And as always, make sure you're following A to Z Sports on every social media platform.
This is soda number 217. The NWI Part 3 is a whole year late of sodes. Okay, you guys noticed. You noticed we went an entire season last year, entire offseason, without getting our guy Nick Westbrook-Ikhine back on the show for a third time.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tougher get now. I mean, he was, what, running wide receiver 2 for half the year last season? Now that he's back down to wide receiver 4 or 5, I feel like that's kind of our wheelhouse with NWI. Right. We can't let his head get too big.
He had a large responsibility last year. He was essentially the go-to guy in the offense. And that, it's kind of on par with Titans wide receivers, where if you're, not the most, and this is not a knock at NWI, but he's not the most talented. I think he would even say this, not the most talented wide receiver in the NFL.
No way.
But that's what the Titans are used to throwing to. So he had a lot on his plate last year. We're going to try and get him back on the podcast at some point. And after the events that unfolded today, maybe we have a better chance of getting him on. We're going to get into all of that and more. That show title, of course, comes via Eldon English at Shrike113. Eldon English, last year's Tupper of the Year, not only hit us with a video last year of him drinking a margarita with mayonnaise in it because we drafted Will Levis and we put it out to our listeners for anyone to do it, they would win Tupper of the Year. He did. And he was automatically, we closed the contest in May of last year rather than in December because of his actions. Mm-hmm. They say the sequel is never as good as the original, but my man ran it back yet again. He mixed some mayonnaise. He actually blended some sriracha mayonnaise into a margarita this year. Sent us the video. Eldon, well done. Yeah, I like the fact that he won Tupper of the Year last year, and he's like, I'm going to run it back. I'm going to try and get it again this year.
I want to ask you, do you think he heard the footsteps of Corey Slovic and Mr. Combos and Anthony
Good
Lehman?
Question.
Just wondering if he heard the footsteps because he stepped up big time again this year.
Right. And Mr. Combos hit us with a minute and a half long video reacting to our little shout out to him in the podcast last week. So Tuppers are stepping up. Tuppers are coming in hard. If you are a Tupper and you want to fight for that Tupper of the Year award at Tighten Up Pod on Twitter and at Tighten Up Podcast on Instagram. You know our digits, okay? Lob us a call. Hit us with whatever you got that's the best at whatever's great. And who knows? Maybe you'll end up like Eldon, where we'll call the fight early. Guys, big day in Titans football. All I'm going to say is two words, Tyler Boyd. We're getting into it, but before we do, we got to first get a word from our friends at BetMGM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code A to Z Sports and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. Will Levis passing touchdowns prop is up on BetMGM. Go check it out. 16.5. I don't know. Sounds like free money to me. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Tennessee only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
With all that said, let's talk Titan.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
What is up, Flameheads? Welcome into the Titan Up Podcast. Today is May 8th, 2024. And one of the biggest gripes that Titans fans have is that we're often forgot about. We're often left out of the conversation. We're spit on. And not like non-pander to Vols fans, okay? Literally spit on by the rest of the league. People forget that about the Titans, which is ironic considering there's a Disney movie with the quite the contrary of a name. And it is hard for us because it feels like there are only 31 teams in the NFL, with our team always getting the shaft.
Flipping through the cracks.
Hell, just this past week, the NFL put together a montage video touting the fact that 8 offensive tackles were taken in the first round. 7 were featured in the montage. 7 of those tackles getting drafted were featured in the montage. The Tennessee Titans were the only one not featured in a montage of just 8 tackles getting drafted. You would think that's a pretty easy edit. That's one where you don't leave one on the cutting room floor. That's a, you know, it was literally the 7th pick of the draft.
And it's not like they're having to go to like Western Missouri State to find tape, right? Like, no. Alabama is on national TV every week.
Yep. Yeah. It is a lot of people, you know, and some people said, well, they were using the NFL network coverage for this montage of, you know, Roger Goodell announcing the names of the guys getting drafted. And NFL Network just so happened to be at commercial during the Titans draft pick.
Shocker.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Still plays into the point, though, that the Titans often get the shaft. However, I am here to tell you that there's one man who is turning his head and saying, oh, damn. At those Tennessee Titans. It's one of the fastest guys in the league. It is a guy who, he has had questionable decisions in his past. But
Rashee Rice?
Oh, God damn. No, not Rashee Rice. And not Ray Rice while we're at it. Tyreek Hill. Yeah, that's a good point. Tyreek Hill tweeted, and I quote, Titans wide receiver core, nasty. Ooh.
There we go. There's some respect. You know, I actually was listening to Colin Cowherd today, and he said the Titans now, he thinks, has a top 6 wide receiver trio in the league.
Wow. That's wild, considering just last week there was a clip of Colin Cowherd saying the Titans are terrible. They're going to finish last. But the rest of the division's pretty good. Which is, again, before we get into the reason why Tyreek Hill is touting the Titans wide receiver room, you got to expect that the Titans are going to be clowned on. They're going to be hated. They're going to be, you know, it's a what have you done for me lately? Nobody in the NFL, and I wrote about this at Cork Bats, nobody looks ahead in the national media. Nobody very, like, outside of, like, Peter Schrager, nobody, like, makes predictive presumptions on the upcoming season based on new information. So many people make those predictions based off of old information. What have they seen with their own two eyes? And last year, people did not see, in fact, last year and a half, people have not seen a lot with their own two eyes, okay? The Titans have been bad. The Titans have played their way into obscurity. The best thing we as Titans fans can hope for is the Titans come out and shock a lot of people, give whiplash to everyone in the national media. That's the best case scenario. The best case scenario is not people hyping the Titans in the offseason. It's not going to happen. So don't expect it to. Enjoy the fact that we can play spoiler. Enjoy that fact. Like, we know what the Titans are building this offseason. We know that this is an entirely new offense. They may suck. They may suck. But at least we know it's completely different than what we trotted out for 17 weeks last season. So, with that said, Brian Callahan and his staff are going to work trying to revamp this offense. They are bringing in guys that they know, that they trust, that they have worked with in the past, or just that they've seen on film that they know will add a lot to this team. Calvin Ridley, and then today, Tyler Boyd, former Cincinnati Bengal. He's going to a slot guy. A fantastic addition to this wide receiver room, and it's a move, in my opinion, that brings depth to a position that you did not have a lot of depth in at all in the last two seasons.
Yeah, so Boyd, I mean, everyone knows he was number three up in Cincinnati these last few years behind Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, and Callahan and Boyd have been on the same team for the last five seasons, so they know each other well. They know each other's strengths and weaknesses. And you kind of figured, you know, based on how quiet Callahan and the staff has been on Treylon Burks, that, you know, and kind of the word around, you know, Burks heading into the draft was maybe we'll try him at slot this year and it'll work. You know, because he played at slot so much at Arkansas. 77% of his snaps at Arkansas came out of the slot. Yet only 20% of his snaps in the NFL have come from the slot spot. So the thought was, okay, maybe they didn't draft a receiver because they feel comfortable about Burks in the slot. Well, soon after the draft, we realized that maybe they don't feel comfortable with Treylon Burks at all, because not only did they bring in Tyler Boyd for a visit, who they eventually signed for a one-year deal, a $4.5 million max, but they also brought in
Zay
Jones.
Great value for what you're getting.
Yeah, no doubt.
That should not go understated.
I thought you'd probably have to pay double what they ended up paying for Tyler Boyd. But they also brought in Zay Jones with the Nick Holtz ties down in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Both guys have been in the league for 8 years, and they're not exactly at the top of their game. They're not in their primes anymore, but they're still capable of helping you out. And Tyler Boyd, I really like this fit, man. I actually haven't really found anybody who doesn't like this fit, especially for the money. I think they got Tyler Boyd for Zay Jones money. And last season, Boyd, 67 catches, 667 yards, two touchdowns. If you get that type of production out of him this season, you've hit a home run with this deal. I mean, 667 yards, two touchdowns. A guy caught 67 passes in an offense that was quarterbacked by Jake Browning for most of the year.
Yeah.
So think about that. Now he's got Will Levis. And, you know, of those catches, of those 67 catches he had last year, 67 of them, 51 of those catches came out of the slot. 508 yards out of the slot. One touchdown out of the slot. This guy lives in the slot. 78% of his targets last season came when he was lined up in the slot. This guy is a slot god. And, you know, Brian Callahan's offenses, they really like to create mismatches on the outside. Or excuse me, not on the outside, but they like to have the dual threat on the outside, right? The Batman and Robin duo.
Yeah.
And then you have a guy on the inside. When those guys are accounted for, when defensive coordinators start paying those guys the proper respect, well, you got a guy on the inside who can create mismatches for you and, you know, convert third downs, which has been a problem for the Titans over the last couple of years. So I really like the fit with Tyler Boyd. And I think it's a little bit deeper, you know, other than just what he can produce here. The off-the-field asset that he can be, not only to Will Levis, but the other receivers in this room, having spent time in Brian Callahan's offense, having spent time in the slot where maybe Treylon Burks, if he sticks around, will get to learn behind him. I think these are all valuable intangibles that have to be factored in when you're also getting a player who's 29 years old, won't turn 30 till November, plenty of experience, plenty of production, couple back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in 17 and 18. So you've got a guy who's been there, done that, and the fit's fantastic in my opinion.
Slot God was actually his name on the And One mixtape tour.
That's right.
Here comes Slot God dribbling the ball down court. Oh, what's he going to do? A buddy of mine in my Titans text thread texted, said, I know nothing about Tyler Boyd. How would you describe what we're getting here? Is this a good move? What's going on? And I thought about that for a little bit. The best way I described him was, imagine Chris Moore, what you had last year, who was a fine wide receiver.
Great deep threat.
Yeah, for what the Titans needed. Like, he was a good... That was a good, low-key, undernamed... Like, he will be a remember of the Titan in years to come. And
he made some big plays last year. I wouldn't have been upset if they kept him, if they brought him back.
Right. To me, Tyler Boyd is 3 times better than Chris Moore. And that's high praise. Yeah, different player for sure.
You know, Chris Moore's big strength out of the slot was his speed and his ability to get vertical on defenses. You know, Tyler Boyd, sure, he plays out of the slot, but he's 6'2". You know, that's the big slot guy that Callahan really likes to lean on.
Yeah, and that's why I'm looking forward to what Tyler Boyd will bring to this offense. And I mean, like, think about it, dude. Tyler Boyd, it was Ja'Marr Chase, it was T. Higgins, and it was Tyler Boyd, the three-headed monster in Cincinnati. And they won a lot of games with those guys. Now you got DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, and Tyler Boyd. That, I feel, and this is weird, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Mark down the day. It's May 7th on the day we're recording this. I feel good about the Titans wide receiver room.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Is that famous last words?
What did I just say? I don't know if I've ever said that in 25 years of being a Titans fan. I don't know if I've ever once uttered that sentence.
It's hard not to like what they've done. And, you know, Buck made a point on his radio show this week. He said, you know, no one out in the national media is respecting the Titans because they haven't earned that respect yet.
No, and
I don't.
Yes.
I see that side of things, right? We don't know what a Brian Callahan offense looks like exactly yet, right? Because it was Zach Taylor's offense in Cincinnati. He was a big part of it. But, Callahan running his own show we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. I think Callahan's going to be great. But Callahan could also suck. He could be terrible. We don't know. We don't.
But the other thing is, like, the personnel that they've brought in this offseason demands a little respect. Right, like, well, if you don't know about the scheme, and if you remember the bad, the Titans were awful to watch these last 2 years, by the way. So it's totally fair to be down on them and to not really think about them. You know, they haven't been useful fantasy play. They've been good for nothing these last 2 years.
Right.
But I think with the direction that they've gone in free agency this offseason, with the trade that they brought in L'Jarius Sneed on in, I think that those moves garner a little bit of respect, and it's fine to think, oh, same old Titans. Will Levis, nobody knows about him. He made some mistakes. You know, had some turnovers on national TV.
I get it.
But you got to put some respect on these moves, man. I mean, this is not a bad roster. This is not a 6-win roster. There's some guys on this roster, I mean, that could help you push for a wild card spot. That could help you beat the Texans.
See, I think we all were fairly confident with the Titans upcoming season before the Tyler Boyd signing. Like, I think, like, we were all kind of like, yeah, we can run a town. We got, you know, we were kind of, there's a big if on either Kyle Phillips or Treylon Burks stepping up in that slot role. But we were like, yeah, we got Calvin Ridley. We got DeAndre Hopkins. This is shaping up to be a really good offense. But then you go out and get Tyler Boyd. What the Titans are doing, and I absolutely love it, the Titans are getting talent to where it will be hard to fail. And I'm that now that that's I don't well, want that to be sets, like famous last
set
words.
Up to succeed. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's they're making Will Levis's job easier by giving you really good athletes on the outside with experience that know how to get open and how to find that separation. Something the Titans were dead last in the NFL. When it came to their wide receiver core, they could not get separation. Mm-hmm. And now you've got an offensive guy who knows how to play basketball on grass, an offensive guy who knows what he's looking for in the weapons that he wants in his offense. And then he's going to teach it to a young a young quarterback who only has 1 year under his belt, who's only been with one coaching staff in the NFL. Now it's like, okay, let's go to work. Let's see what we got with Will Levis. And I'm low key, I'm excited. And I feel, again, here I go. I'm going to say it again. I feel good about this Titans wide receiver room. It is, and I feel good about what the Titans are doing. You know, like how often would the Titans miss out on free agents and miss out on players, on bettering their football team? And here Rand Carthon and crew are like, no, we're going to bring in Zay Flowers. We're going to bring in Tyler Boyd. We're going to find who's the right fit for this offense and bring them in. And the biggest knock right now is the wide receiver room is old. And I mean, Tyler Boyd is what is Tyler Boyd, 32?
No, Tyler Boyd is 29, but he turns 30 in November, so he will turn 30 during the season.
Okay, and that and so you've got an older staff. You know, these aren't a bunch of, you know, rookies or, you know, 24-year-olds out there. It's a seasoned staff for sure. But who says old guys can't ball, you know, right? I mean, like, did you ever, like, in my elementary school?
Well, and it's not like they're Andre Johnson or Randy Moss when they came through here either. Like right. Ridley and Boyd will turn 30 this season. And DeAndre Hopkins is coming off a 1,000-yard year. So yeah. There's still plenty of gas left in each of these guys' tanks. And
I don't know about you, Jack, but in my elementary school, the teachers would dominate the students in the teacher-student basketball game every year.
It was a dominating effort, you say. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. You know, considering they're probably twice their size. But look, you look down at Houston and you see what they've done this offseason. They bring in Diggs and they've got that trio, right? Diggs, yeah. Collins, Dell. I mean, D-Hop, Ridley, and Boyd can go toe-to-toe with those three. Now, the question is, can Levis play like Stroud? That remains to be seen.
It is a big question mark, too. Like, we're confident in Will Levis as Titans fans, but keep in mind,
cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, cautiously optimistic. There is a chance Will Levis could be bad, and Titans fans are not going to love it because obviously everything Ryan Tannehill did for this franchise, the minute he turned quote unquote bad, Titans fans turned on him very quickly. And this season, and with as hostile and savage, and
we're not in a good mental Titans place
fans
right now.
Can be.
Yeah.
We are. And I'm just, Will Levis is not a sure thing. Keep in mind, this is a guy who could not beat out Sean Clifford for a starting job at Penn State and had to transfer to Kentucky just to start. And again, that could just be James Franklin malpractice.
Yeah, I was going to say, James Franklin is not exactly known to be a quarterback guru. He's got Drew Aller lined up to start this season, so he doesn't always make the right decision.
Well, that's you kind of have to play with.
But he sure knows how to cover up the bad ones, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. But it's not like Will Levis lit the world on fire in Kentucky. He did his junior year. Senior year, you know, obviously hit some circumstances and did not. So, like, it's not a sure thing. And Will Levis is not a set thing. However, if you can get the talent around him, if you can get the backfield of Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard, if you can get the wide receiver room that the Titans have gotten, if Chig can bounce back and produce at the way he did his rookie season.
He always comes on late. We need Chig for all 17, not the last seven.
Right. Then you've got something special, and you've got something. The nice thing is, not a lot of people are going to be expecting the Titans to be good. The Titans have that to their favor. If nobody talks about the Titans, you're not going to get NFL teams getting hyped, getting up to play a game against the Titans. They're going to sleepwalk through a game because they're not going to think. Now, on the contrary, everyone's going to get up to try and play the Texans. You know, they took the world by storm last year.
Yeah, they got the target on their back.
Just like everyone got up to play the Jaguars this past year, you know? Same thing, you know, like the Chiefs. Like, every game they play in feels like it's of significant magnitude. It's because everyone gets up and gives the Chiefs their best shot because
they had a tough
they're the
regular
reigning
season.
World champs.
They got beat up in the regular season. And, you know, that's, that's going to happen again.
So there are benefits to not getting talked about. There are benefits to not being, you know, the it team. And hopefully the Titans can take full advantage of that. And I like what they're doing by surrounding, like, building their team with depth and building their team. Now,
the pass catchers, the pass catchers that Will Levis is going to have at his disposal, like the top six, you're looking at the trio, right? D-Hop, Ridley, and Boyd, but you've also got Chig, who you just mentioned, and Pollard and Spears out of the backfield. That's a top six where if Will Levis doesn't produce, there will be quarterbacks itching to get in this offense. I mean, it's an attractive situation now, and it's only going to get more attractive when the Titans have another draft to build their offensive line, maybe get a little younger at the wide receiver spot because D-Hop and Boyd, by the way, are both only locked up for one more season. So you got to figure out what you're going to do there. But the guy
that's the thing. Because it's like, it's not like a quarterback is going to be itching to get in there during the season next year unless Tom Brady comes out of retirement.
Callahan is nursing
his wounds after that roast on Netflix.
It's a great roast.
Goodness. That was fantastic.
Carthen and Callahan have built this thing to where decent quarterback play gives you a shot at the playoffs. And Will Levis just has to be decent, man. If he's just decent, the Titans could win 9 games and flirt with that wild card spot. And if he's bad, you know what? They can find a quarterback in the first round of the draft next year, slot him in, and he's got a whole lot to work with already. He's going to hit the ground running. So you feel good about that. But the guy that I haven't mentioned yet is Treylon Burks. This deal.
This acquisition means a lot. My gosh, this is okay. All right.
There's a lot of double talk going on. But listen.
We need to be in the same room, damn it.
I know. But so the Boyd addition has a major impact on Burks, right? Because at the start of the podcast, what was I saying? You know, Burks, you know, they're going to try him in the slot as like kind of a last-ditch effort to get something out of him to see if you can tap into that first-round potential that you believe he had when you traded A.J. Brown for him on draft night and took him at 18th overall. The problem is Boyd is now going to cuck Burks out of some snaps. And Burks isn't going to have an integral of a role in this offense anymore. Which means, Austin, that the trade door has opened. Now, if you're GM Rand Carthon, you've got Treylon Burks, who's got a cap hit of $3.9 million this year and $4.5 next year. Not big cap hits. Do you entertain the idea of trading him? Or do you keep him as kind of a backup slot option, a number four, if you will? If anything happens to D-Hop or Ridley, he can step in there. If Tyler Boyd goes down, he can step in the slot there. Or do you trade him and maybe get like a 6th-round pick in return?
Okay. This is the choose-your-own-adventure book. All right. Let's weigh our options before we flip to the next page. Okay. I like the idea of trading him because if you can get someone to give you something for Treylon Burks, then that's money gained basically because Treylon Burks has given you nothing on the field aside from a, you know, 70-yard bomb against the Chargers last year. He's given you nothing.
Yeah. A big catch over the middle against the Bengals, you know, the touchdown against the Eagles. But after
was like a season ending touchdown. That was awesome. It has been few and far between. The Treylon Burks. In fact, we can count on one hand the number of impact plays that Treylon Burks has made. So if you can get anyone to give you anything, that's just free money in your pocket. However, I also like the idea keeping him on this roster because, as my guy Lucas Panzeca was saying on the Buck Rising show today, shout out, I was listening all the way from Chicago. It's house money that you're playing with. Whatever Treylon Burks can give you on the field, it's house money. So it's kind of the same thing. If anyone's willing to give you anything, it's just free money. If Treylon Burks can produce anything, it's free money because we're not expecting anything from him now that Tyler Boyd is on this offense. So and I love the idea of having him in a backup role because he was thrusted into a starter position and probably thrusted into a starter position of a role he wasn't familiar with.
Yeah, he had to put on A.J. Brown's shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Most of his snaps in college came out of the slot. Whereas, Jack, we were talking about this before the podcast. Was it only 25% of his snaps in the pros have come from the slot?
Just 20%.
20%. Okay, so one out of every five snaps come from the slot. So the Titans have been trying to fit a square peg into a round hole when it comes to Treylon Burks playing the wide receiver position. And that's not, I don't want to take the easy route into being like, well, that's because they had offensive coaches that didn't know what they were doing. Sure, that is true. But I think the Titans were also kind of forced to do that because they did not have the talent in the wide receiver room. They did not have the depth. Treylon Burks had to play positions that he was not familiar or not great at, that don't benefit his natural abilities the best. Now, if you keep him on the roster with the amount of wide receivers he's got ahead of him, you can work him. You can utilize him in areas that fill the need. And we as Titans fans should know, the last 2 years, this team has struggled with depth at all positions, especially that wide receiver position. So now you mean to tell me, like, you bring in a really good wide receiver in Tyler Boyd, and you want to, like, just get rid of Treylon Burks? Like, no, let's see what we got. Let's see if we can squeeze any juice out of that lemon. And I think that... I think I'm weighing my options. Mm-hmm. I'm leaning towards keeping him. What about you?
Is there a little piece in you that just won't let Treylon Burks die in your heart? Because there's a little piece in me that's still, maybe it's a voice in my head that says, hey man, don't give up on Treylon just yet. Don't give up on him. He's missed 12 games in two seasons. Injuries, inconsistencies, unreliability on the field has really put him in a bad light in Titans fans' eyes. But yeah. I'll say this. If you do trade him, look at it this way, because the return will not be rich, right? If you do Treylon Burks, if you trade Treylon Burks, you probably recoup, what, a sixth-round pick? You get rid of Treylon Burks, but you look at it this way. Look at it as if you're trading away Treylon Burks and about $600,000, and you're getting Tyler Boyd and a sixth-round pick. Right, Treylon Burks and $600,000 was going out the door. Tyler Boyd and a sixth round pick is coming in because Tyler Boyd's $4.5 million max deal. Right, that's a $4.5 million deal at its max value compared to Treylon Burks' $3.9 million cap hit in 2024. The difference there is $600,000, so that's why that number's in there. But that's not a terrible deal in itself. But I'm leaning towards keeping him because if you do want Treylon Burks to learn how to play out of the slot, who better to go in front of him and pave the way for him than a guy who's played the slot in Brian Callahan's offense for five seasons, right?
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd's only going to be here for 1 year. We all know it's a rental deal. You know, nobody's kidding anybody here with this thing. It's going to be a one-night stand situation with Tyler Boyd. But then you wake up and you call that girl you've been seeing for a couple of years. You say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Treylon, I want you back in my home. Because now you know how to play the slot, right? You saw Tyler Boyd do it for a whole year. And you can step in the final year of your rookie deal and really make a difference for us out of the slot. Or, you know, I mean, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is great insurance on the outside.
Yeah.
But you also have Treylon Burks. If something, God forbid, happens to one of the receivers, I mean, Calvin Ridley, same age as Tyler Boyd. You got D-Hop, who's a couple years older. If something happens, you need some explosiveness on the outside. And I get it. You hadn't seen a whole lot of it from Burks yet. But you know he's got it in there somewhere. I lean towards keeping him because, like you said, I do believe you're playing with house money. And I do believe that if the plan is to work Treylon Burks out of the slot, that big slot type, he fits right into that role. And maybe, you know, this isn't a square peg in a round hole. This is probably where he's more comfortable in that slot spot.
Yeah.
Let him sit. Let him watch. When he's needed, throw him out there. But I think that this could be a big year on the mental side of things for Treylon Burks. And if you just get some confidence on the field with Will Levis, I think that'll go a long way. And then you can really hope to get something out of him, 600, 650, 700 yards out of him in the slot in 2025. You keep him because he's great insurance and he's a first-round talent, but you also keep him because you can't get much for him. What's the point in selling a stock if you're selling it at its low point, you know? You're right. Not going to make a whole lot of money doing that.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. So I think all eyes now that Tyler Boyd is in two-tone blue, all eyes turn to Treylon Burks and the future there. I guess time will tell. We'll probably find out tomorrow that he's like traded, and then we'll have to wait an entire week to react to that news coming down.
But we're both team keep Treylon Burks, right?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Yes. Yes. I could. I won't be upset if he's traded.
Same.
But I would like to see what we can get out of him, unless
I just I get the injury issues, man. I do, but it's only been two seasons. Like, I want to see a full season. I want to see a big sample size. I want to see a full season, 17 game sample size from Treylon Burks, so I can finally make my decision next year when you can still trade him. And maybe, you know what? Maybe he scores a few touchdowns this year. Maybe he goes for 400 yards this year. And you can trade him for a better pick.
Yes. So
there's no rush in getting rid of Burks, in my opinion.
No.
Hold on to him. Let him produce. Let him sit and learn. And, you know, have this conversation again next offseason.
Tyler Boyd tweeted today at 12.05 p.m., May 7th, at @bout_dat_23 is his Twitter handle. He just tweets two words, tighten up.
Yeah, I mean that's him checking in with us before he comes.
Yeah,
to Nashville.
Love it.
You got to check in.
That was him tweeting about his favorite podcast, right?
I think so. I mean, isn't that what they do in the rap game? Whenever you go to somebody else's city, you got to check in. You got to check in with the OGs.
Oh my gosh,
like that's an homage to us.
Speaking of the rap game, I could do an entire podcast on the Drake and Kendrick beef from this past weekend. Oh my gosh. I don't know about you, but I was glued to my phone for three straight days just watching this unfold, because it was unbelievable. The night that the Preds get bounced from the playoffs will be a night that lives in infamy in hip hop history because of the two diss tracks that were dropped that night. Like, oh my gosh, that was unreal.
So who's Drake and who's Kendrick in the Titans-Texans rivalry right now?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the Texans are Kendrick right now.
Yeah. They're going a little bit harder. They're doing a little bit more.
They're the newer artist. Yeah, the Titans are a little more, you know, like.
The Titans have been topping the charts for a few years, you know.
Yeah.
And the Texans, they've been scratching and clawing. This is their time to jump them.
Yeah, they're sneaking in. And the Titans often, you know, accused of being pedophiles.
Whoa, I didn't know that. But
that's like the big thing with Drake.
I know that about Drake. Yeah, I know that.
Kendrick is accusing him of us.
But even if you top the charts, Kendrick Lamar, there's still some things that Drake can do that you can't do.
That's right. He's accomplished some things that you never will.
Drake's got the Oilers uniform.
Right. Drake is also cursed in his sports fandom, and the Titans are also cursed.
Yeah,
so
we can relate to that.
It makes sense. Yeah. Jeffrey Simmons tweeted this week at @GrindSimmons94. Titans fans, how we feeling? Can't wait to see you guys in a couple months. Then he gave a clock emoji. Is ticking, and soon we'll be locking them MF gates. Hey, I don't know what the hell that means, but I'm ready to lock some gates. Let's lock all the gates. Let's lock all the gates. Hey, guys, short sode this week. We're gonna try and knock out a couple of short sodes during this offseason, during these really slow months. If you'd like to interact with us, at Tighten Up Pod is where you can do so on Twitter, at Tighten Up Podcast on Instagram. Jack is on Twitter, at Jack A. Gentry. He's doing some great writing for A to Z Sports. Of course, A to Z Sports is at A to Z Sports on all of the socials. And you can follow me if you care to do so, at Austin Huff. Jack, you got anything for the road?
Marlon Davidson's back in town. Thought he had a high motor last season when he came on late on that injured defensive line. Good to have another Auburn Tiger back. So I'm
good
happy
to
with
have,
that move.
Yeah, love seeing Davidson in Nashville. Should the Titans bring back Avery Williamson?
I don't know. They've already got Denard Wilson as the defensive coordinator.
Ooh, maybe sign John Rutherford.
Or Steve Pulaski, if he's out there.
Ooh.
Sounds like a good right guard to me.
Get a former Patriot in, and then you'll have Cheatham covered as well. Folks. All right. We got to get out of here. We're going to go out on that really bad joke. Love you guys. And thanks so much for submitting. Again, send us your show titles at Tighten Up Pod. With all that said, until next week,
Tighten up.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans. They'll keep on fighting all the way. They're Titans.